Hey everyone, welcome to another SEI Cyber Talk. I'm Ritwik Gupta, your host. I'm a machine learning research scientist here at the Emerging Technology Center. And with me today, I have two of our great interns, Sandra and Dominic, who will be talking to us a little bit about what it's like to be an intern at an FFRDC, like the SEI. For those of you who may not know, an FFRDC is a federally funded research and development center. And so what that means is that the government, in our case, the DOD, the Department of Defense, gives us a bunch of money to do a whole bunch of research from them as trusted advisors. We don't bid on contracts, we don't sell anything to them, but our job is to basically take cutting-edge software, cutting-edge research coming out of CMU and other places, and get it working for DOD-relevant applications that to work on the mission. And so, Dominic, you want to tell a little bit us about yourself?
Of course, yes. I'm currently a junior at the University of Pittsburgh studying computer science, and I'm currently working with Ritwik right now on applied machine learning, implementing inverse reinforcement learning into the ROS2 system.
So my name is Sandra Sajeev. I am a senior in ECE right now at Carnegie Mellon, and my focus areas are computer vision as well as machine learning engineering, and I get to do some of that here at the SEI.
Cool. Well, I mean, I know you guys could do that because I get to tell you what to do.
Yes.
So how'd you guys get here? What's your background then?
Well, I had primarily a background in web development and a little bit of mobile app development. However, I wanted to get into a lot more research-based, being able to apply mathematics to a lot of my problem-solving skills and use coding as the means of doing it.
Gotcha.
So based off that, I met one of our coworkers last year at a hackathon, and he told me about this place, and I thought it'd be a great idea to check out in the fall, as I already had a summer internship, and I really like that there's a lot more freedom here. So I, you know, sent an application in, and here I am today.
Cool. What about you, Sandra? What's your background?
So I guess I kind of started out with coding and stuff back in high school, but I primarily worked on like data visualization stuff. Okay. So I always knew that I had an interest in learning more about data and how we can kind of tell stories with data, but it wasn't until I got to CMU that I learned more about machine learning and like computer vision. And those two areas really stuck out to me, and I hadn't really been able to apply it in industry yet, which is why I decided to come here and kind of explore it more during the semester as well, after taking courses on it.
Gotcha. And so that's interesting, because you say you came from industry here, you wanted to apply in industry, but we're not really industry. What is there? So actually, let's start with this. What do you do here? Like, what's your project? What are you working on?
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on two different projects. So one of them is like a natural language processing project that I'm working on with another researcher at the ETC. So it's part of this thing called PitchFest, where we get to kind of explore a new idea, and we're trying to apply NLP to academic research and like academic papers, technical papers, to see what type of insights we can derive from that. So I've been working with clustering, textual summarization, as well as hypothesis generation. So we're kind of looking at these new ways to apply NLP for more technical reviews or technical papers, because current research has been on stuff like Amazon reviews or Twitter.
Gotcha.
Twitter, I guess, like little Twitter posts, right?
Sure, yeah. Like tweets.
Tweets, yes. So
let me get this. So you're taking basically like paper reviews, right? Like, so if I submit a paper to a conference,
yes,
and I get a review back, you're taking those reviews and you're doing like...
So we're looking at abstracts of papers.
Okay.
And then seeing what we can derive from that.
What do you mean, what can we derive?
Like
what's the task?
Basically, if we can determine different similarities between lots of papers...
I see.
So, okay. Starting to see trends in the field based on NLP.
So the idea is by kind of using NLP on the abstract of the paper,
mm-hmm,
you want to figure out what papers are similar to each other, which ones are dissimilar to
each
other.
Which ones are contradicting each other, and which ones are supporting each other. So then you can kind of see how your stance kind of looks in the overall field. So
gotcha.
We're looking at quantum papers specifically for this project.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you said hypothesis generation, what
yes.
do you mean?
So hypothesis generation basically is if you can create one sentence about a given topic. So for quantum, it's like quantum circuits perform better than like regular circuits perform better. So that could be a hypothesis. You can see which, I guess, you can try generating these hypotheses from an abstract.
Oh, so, awesome. Okay, yeah. So basically, given an abstract, try to figure out what the research statement they're trying to say.
Yes, the main idea.
Oh, that's really cool. So, made any progress?
Some progress. It is still like a very hard task because NLP in general is a very hard task, as right. well as trying to, because what we're trying to do is going into like machine translation and like machine understanding, and that's like a very difficult problem.
Sure.
But we have been able to do like some basic things like with clustering and textual summarization that gives us like a good step forward.
Yeah. No, we have a whole language technologies institute mm-hmm. here at Carnegie Mellon who can probably attest to the fact that this is a really difficult task.
Yeah.
So, I mean, since NLP isn't really your background, is this something that you've been enjoying or?
It's definitely been something that I've enjoyed. I've like taken a class on it before, but I definitely think computer vision is where I really excel and what I really like. And that's why I'm really enjoying starting to work on the project with you, the DIU project, where we get to kind of generate a data set of different satellite images, multi-band satellite imagery, and trying to assess buildings damage from that. So that kind of goes directly into the field that I'd like to be working in. So like machine learning engineering, kind of working with very large data sets, being able to really, I guess, look at scalability and efficiency within machine learning, which I feel like isn't really stressed as much in an academic setting, in a research setting. So I've been enjoying starting to work on that and starting to create the pipeline for that.
Yeah, I've been enjoying giving you some work to do, so it takes it off of me, right?
Yeah.
Dominic, why don't you tell me a little about what you're working on here?
Currently, I'm working with Rutwick on inverse reinforcement learning and applying it to robotics. So the whole goal of our project is to detect anomalies in a system. So primarily, we've been using something, a robot with wheels, but you know, it could be applied to something that's like a self-driving car. And it's using this inverse reinforcement learning to detect what can be anomalous activity in a given state, for example.
Oh, that's really interesting. So basically, you know, you get to take a really advanced field of research, which is inverse reinforcement learning, and apply it, like actually get it applied in a real physical manifestation, right?
Right. So I think that's one of the most interesting parts about working here, is being able to take a lot of this cutting edge research developed here at Carnegie Mellon University and apply it to something physical that can be used in industry. Where the whole point is trying to be able to prove that we can apply this in real time. So
right.
It's really interesting to see that, you know, academics and academia and just research in general can actually be applied in real time.
So that's interesting. So, I mean, obviously there have to be a lot of challenges with all this, right? Inverse reinforcement learning is a really kind of cutting edge field of research, and so is ROS2, this really new kind of still untested robotics middleware. So what are some of the challenges that you're facing when you're implementing all of this?
Well, some of the challenges that I've been facing is the lack of documentation and lack of research outside of the university on these two topics.
Okay.
However, I think one of the helpful things working at the ETC is being able to work with a group of, you know, very intelligent individuals who have all had experience working with new technologies before.
Yeah.
So it's not very stressful when it comes to learning a new technology and being able to use that in real time.
I will note for the audience, my mom would dispute that very intelligent claim for myself. So you know, again, it's really not your background, right? You know, I assume you've never done inverse reinforcement learning. Most people probably haven't. You probably haven't done robotics. So how does that, you know, how's the transition of going from working in kind of web development, like you said, to this cutting edge research pretty much?
Well, I think it's very interesting because when I was doing a lot of web development, a lot of it's very task-based. And since I had to be able to complete a task by the end of the day and make sure it worked, make sure there's no bugs in it. However, working with such new technologies and being able to like apply machine learning to real time, I've been able to do a lot more of my own thing. I've been able to put my own spin onto it and really develop my interest in the field by working on it. It wasn't very tasky, but it was a lot more free form, being able to develop my interest and put my own spin on it.
And actually, speaking of your backgrounds, you've both had internships at industry previously, and I'll let you guys talk about it a little bit. But what's the difference between interning at a company, you know, somewhere in industry, and interning at an FFRDC, like the SCI? Sandra?
Sure. So I guess like the past two summers, I've interned at Tesla. So that's definitely been a very different experience from working here.
They're a lot bigger.
They're very fast paced. You don't know a lot of the people in your overall team. So I have like enjoyed the intimacy of like working here. It feels more kind of like a startup, But at the same time, we're not always, it's not as like cutthroat as like a startup, because we're not always looking at deliverables. We have time to kind of explore different technologies and do basically research, which I've really enjoyed. I think when you're doing an internship during the school year, it's nice to have that flexibility to kind of go out and learn more, because this is kind of like an extra class in a sense. Except you do a project too.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting perspective. Yeah. So, I mean, again, like for the audience who may not know, the ETC, we're about 30 people. And the most of the stuff that we do is basic and applied research in the areas of artificial intelligence and human machine interaction. And I've never heard anyone describe it like an extra class where you get to do a project. So I assume that means that you're learning a lot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're it's learning not, a lot. Okay. So I think like learning is like the biggest part of it. Because yes, you learn in an internship, but at the same time, you're always doing something. You always have like something to show, something to show at your next agile meeting. Whereas this is different from that. We don't
strictly do agile. There's no clear goals all the time, right?
Yeah.
It is tough, I would say, then, right? Like it's because, like, you know, normally it's really nice to have this list of things to do.
Yeah.
Would you say you prefer that kind of environment where you kind of do like task A, task B, task C, you know, it's on your Jira ticket, you finish it and move on, or kind of prefer
this Jira openness? Annoys me.
Okay.
So, but I do see the positive aspects of it too, when you look at, because then you have like a measurable scale of how much you actually did.
Sure.
But at the same time, I think working here, it gives you kind of like a different perspective. I would ideally like something that has both, you know, time to explore, but still like, let's do these tasks and like Jira tickets and like see your measurable progress. But,
and I mean, with your, that kind of fits in with your interest, right? You want to be ML engineering, which is the engineering side of things, and the ML explorer. So that's pretty cool. Dominic, like same thing, same question for you, man. You know, working at industry, working at here, you know, what's cool, what's not?
Well, in particular, I think one of the most challenging things about working in industry as an intern was the amount of impact I was actually making as an intern. You know, I didn't really feel like I was doing a lot. I felt like I was on a side project. I got to learn a lot, but in terms of experience and pushing something out, I really didn't think I was making a huge impact. However, one of the things I really love about working here is being able to make sure that I am making an impact, which is with this cutting-edge research and actually being able to apply it. I'm not just, you know, one out of 100,000 people anymore. I'm one out of 30 people who's, you know, applying this in real time for the first time. So a lot of the work I am doing, it's a lot more impactful and a lot more meaningful to just my career in general.
Sure. What would you say, both of you, what would you say are some of the downsides of working at FFRDC compared to industry?
I think it could be difficult because it is a little more open and free form. So you're not always 100% sure of what your goals are. You could be researching something and trying to understand what you're trying to accomplish, but it's not always very clear. I know it takes me, you know, asking questions to 3 or 4 people at times just to find out, okay, what is the task I need to complete today? Mm-hmm. Because I have no idea what I can do with this research. So I have all this great data, all this great material to work with. I have no idea what I need to accomplish though.
Sure. Yeah, and that, I think some of that falls on us too, is to be able to set clear things for you guys. But again, the way research goes, what we may do today may not hold up tomorrow. So I can relate.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Sandra?
Well, yeah, I guess going off of that, it can be really frustrating when you've worked on something for so long and then realize that it isn't really working or it's not possible. But I think that's just the difference between doing research versus being in industry. And if you are doing something that has some sort of research value in industry, you're going to be faced with the same issues. So it's not something that I feel like is specific to the ETC or SEI as a whole. It's more just specific to the research field and the fact that we're working on these cutting edge technologies.
Yeah, I'm sure if you go work at Google Brain or something, they'll have the same exact issues, right? Yeah. They're also working on some super cool stuff, but again, as happens with super cool stuff, kind of really don't know where it ends up. So. Mm-hmm. You know, we're almost out of time here. And so, you know, I'd like to just close with, you know, for the audience, right? So we'll look at the camera over here. Any recommendations or any suggestions for interns who are kind of considering SEI or FFRDCs in general or research areas in general?
I think it's really important that you give it a try, regardless if you're interested in it or not, because it's a different perspective from a career standpoint, rather than just your general old industry completing a task every day. I think working here has definitely helped me realize a lot of my career goals and, you know, put them into effect a little bit.
Yeah, I guess like for me personally, I think it's been a really cool experience to actually apply some of the stuff that I've been learning in the classroom. It's not always easy as an underclassman to get into internships that use machine learning, especially since you haven't had as much exposure to it. So I think internships like these are really good if you're planning on going into any field that involves computer vision, machine learning, or artificial intelligence, because it really gives you the opportunity to test these technologies out in a real setting, while at the same time looking at things like scalability and efficiency, which you might not get at a research lab here.
Yeah, well, I mean, both of you guys are terrific. I know both of you guys are going to go on and really achieve your career goals. So best of luck to both of you both.
Thank you.
But one thing I like to say, we're always looking for terrific interns here at the SEI. You know, we do a lot of cybersecurity research, applied artificial intelligence, software engineering, hardware engineering, what have you. And so if you're interested in kind of doing some research for the summer or the fall or the spring, and you know, you have a little bit of passion of working in an environment where things are kind of open-ended and there's no real set task all the time, please do shoot us an email at info@sci.cme.edu or shoot me an email at rgupta@sci.cme.edu, and we'd be happy to talk to you and see what we can do. So again, thank you guys. Thank you, Dominic. Thank you, Sandra. And we hope to hear from you soon.